Well, I was going to say, holy fluff, we've got a guest on Cyber Athletics for the first time.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how I'm going to edit this and how it's going to look. It could just be Dom by himself and us two just, like, we're audio
just
only.
Voices, just voices.
Yeah, he's like doing a full takeover.
Well, we could have like your face made small superimposed over his left ear and mine on his right.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah, we
just
put
our
him on,
faces.
On his shoulders time. Like the angel and the devil. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wonder who would be who in that scenario. We can
yes,
leave that to speculation.
I wonder. I wonder.
But anyway, yeah, so we've got Mr. Som Dacko, Dom Sacco himself here. Founder and editor-in-chief of Esports News UK.
That's
and an all-round lovely person.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, I'm delighted to be here, guys. I've watched your podcast. I like listening to what you have to say about all the things you've spoken about, esports awards, you know, Saudi's involvement in esports and so on. So, yeah, I'm honoured to be here.
It's nice to bring on, like, one of our three listeners to... We do it like a giving back thing.
Yeah,
so, like, once
yeah,
a month,
yeah.
We bring on one of our very few listeners to,
yeah.
to come and chat about
one
esports.
One of
I
our
always
three
try to comment
yeah.
the algorithm.
Nice, appreciate that.
What a guy.
More people should do that. You know, not enough people do that on
esports. I agree. I try and do that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, we got a UK esports, the UK esports legend in the house. So,
too kind.
It's an honour. It is an
honour. Trying to see him blush.
I do my best. Well, it's hard because it's hot today, right? So I'm permanently sort of.
Yeah. Oh my god, my room is disgraceful.
I look like
a sauna,
Mr. Krabs.
Honestly.
So we brought in Mr. UK Esports for a very specific reason, and it's because we're uneducated about the topic that we're going to discuss.
So, hey, true though.
So obviously there was the Commonwealth Esports Championships. I believe that is the perfect pronunciation of that title.
Yes.
All the S's in the right places and stuff like that, which has been getting coverage from the BBC, which is how you know it's not really an esports event like that. You know? I mean, it's not part of the esports zeitgeist. But no, some people consider it like a watershed moment for esports, especially UK esports, you could say, in a sense, hosting that. And the first step to getting esports in the Olympics. Other people, some really wise people, I would suggest, consider it more of a, we're here to try and take over. I don't know. It doesn't, to them, whoever they may be, those smart people, they don't really see the acknowledgement from the court esports folks. And then they have to try and wonder why that may be. And it's because it's run mostly by people who are not really plugged into the actual industry like that. And thus is sort of the kind of problem. They're seemingly trying to progress esports, but in my mind, it's like their version of esports is what they want to get going with, but not going too hot takey at the beginning. I don't even know when it started, but I know it's just finished.
Yeah, it started last Friday. So whenever this goes out, it would have been Friday the 5th of August. That was the Commonwealth Esports Forum, which was more like an industry conference for their member federations.
That.
You know, I spoke to people in the esports world that went to that, and they did say, I had a few say to me, we didn't really learn much, Dom. Maybe it wasn't for us. But, you know, I've interviewed the CEO of Global Esports for the reason of who are they? Let's get to know them. You know, get it straight from the horse's mouth so that the esports community and the UK esports community and my readers can, you know, form an opinion on them. And the CEO did tell me, we're not for, you know, the esports community as such. We're for people around the world, these different member federations, esports federations, sports societies and so on, and partners to understand esports. But then I was thinking, well, you do the Global Esports Tour as well, which is a talk which actually esports orgs, right? Ninjas and Pajamas, I think other traditional orgs have taken part in that. So which is it? You know, and that's why I'm a little bit on the fence with Global Esports, because I think they're trying to do what they say, but they're trying to do other things as well.
Isn't that tour where they just go to all the places that would like kill gay people? It's effectively like, all right, let's go to the places with the most money. Like, I'm pretty sure that there was a Saudi stop. If not, there is one coming.
They've got one coming. And actually, you know, I should know on this. I'll say my knowledge is more of the Commonwealth.
Yeah. I don't want to detour too much, but it was just too...
You're right. They have got one in Saudi and a few others, I think, over the years. And I think they've done this partnership with the West Midlands, this 10-year deal, where they want to get West Midlands hosting a Global Esports Tour. So if that happens, we will have some bigger orgs playing here, because we haven't had many, especially with COVID. We haven't had many for a few years.
interesting. But also with the name Global Esports Federation, you'd assume they would be wanting to effectively be the ruling body or governing body of esports. That name suggests as much. So they're now saying they're not really aiming for the esports folks, despite the tar where it is for the esports folks. Like, yeah, there's some muddled messaging here. Maybe they don't perhaps know what they're actually trying to do.
Yeah. They've said they're a convening body, right? Because I asked them that. I've said I feel like a lot of the esports community aren't aware of you or what you do. You say you're the convening body for the esports ecosystem. Right. And there's a lot of words in there, you know, credibility, legitimacy, prestige. They've put, these aren't my words, these are theirs. Equality, fair play, diversity, inclusion, innovation, all this stuff. And they said, oh, we're not just saying words. But I do think, you know, I was speaking to someone earlier who's sort of linked with the Commonwealth Esports Championships, and they were saying, you know, actions speak louder than words. And this Global Esports Federation are still quite new. I think they were announced late 2019, this partnership with Tencent, you know, which got people, you know, looking a little bit. But we've seen this a lot, haven't we, with other entities over the years, and they're not really doing much, like WESA and so on. So time will tell.
The powers with the publishers, right? So it's hard for them to come in unless they're literally going to partner with all of the publishers, which I think Global Esports Federation is trying to do. I think they probably hold some deals with, I think they've got like Capcom and maybe Riot Games and stuff, right? They have some in there, but you're not going to get them all on board. Like Riot, how Riot Games wants to operate its like leagues and ecosystem is very different to how Valve does with CS. Like getting everyone on the same page there is no bueno. It's not going to work.
Exactly. And, you know, some people might say, I'm naive to think this, but Tencent isn't Riot Games. They're the parent company, right? And they can have sway and so on. But, you know, I've seen people from Riot being a bit critical of Global Esports on Twitter.
Oh, really?
There was someone, I think, who commented under one of your tweets. I can't remember his name now. Someone from Riot. I should have looked at, not even your tweets, someone's tweets. I can't remember now. But, you know, that's thing, isn't it? Because I think back in the day, I think Tencent wanted a mobile game of League of Legends. And from what I've read, Riot were pretty resistant. All right, we can't be done, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, we got Wild Rift.
Mm-hmm. So, well, they're still suing the shit out of Moonton, right, for Mobile Legends, which is like the most viewed esport in the world if you look at peak viewership this year.
Wow.
It's insane to like, they dropped the ball on that one massively.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the proof will be in the pudding. Time will tell. I think the Commonwealth Esports Championships went okay. I didn't get to go. I did want to go, but shout out to Jack Freeman, who covered that for Esports News UK and did a little opinion piece. Like, he was there. And he said, you know, things like the crowd, you know, it was very up and down. Some games, like I think Rocket League Open, it was a good, bustly crowd. Other games, a little bit quieter.
So those other games, we've got eFootball, which is a reskinned PES, now like a recurring, like evolving title as opposed to an annual release, and also Dota 2, right? So not the, I don't know, a weird title choices. Rocket League makes the most sense, of course, because it's the most easy to understand. And I guess you could say the same for eFootball, but no one plays or really watches that.
They were. So why was eFootball chosen? So it's Pro Evolution Soccer.
Probably couldn't get FIFA.
It's banned on. Well, yeah, that's, do you reckon? It's probably why, isn't it?
That's my assumption, is that FIFA, and you know, the whole EA falling out with FIFA thing, if you read quotes and read between the lines there, I think it's been, and from people I've spoken to, I think FIFA are quite difficult to arrange tournaments with. Mm. So, who knows?
Somebody was telling me the other day that working with FIFA is like just impossible. Like, there's just so much red tape and like bureaucratic like nonsense that you have to get through.
And that is a body, isn't it? That is a body. They're more of a governing. They are a governing body, but you know, that's an interesting comparison to make.
But like, so if you want to like show the best of esports, I don't think you're going to be able to do that with like Dota 2, but not having established teams and just chucking people together effectively. And eFootball, which is largely irrelevant to esports. Let's be completely real there.
Yeah.
And Rocket League makes some sense. Again, I still think trying to go the national route just doesn't make sense with where we're at with esports. Mm. Obviously, there's a lot of like casual gamers for a game like Rocket League, but how many are like elite? I read that one of the women's teams in Rocket League is a Bronze 2 player. Bronze 2.
You know what? I didn't.
That's the second lowest rank you can fucking get. Like, there was that, and I saw that some teams had players that had only been playing for a week. Like, and I don't know how true these are. I'm not those players. I can't verify it that way. But having a bronze two player just shows like the pool is not deep enough to have like good national teams and showing the top flight competition at that level where we're at now, surely.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, it's like a pros and cons thing. If you want to get the best teams and the best players, you know, with, like you said, with where esports is at, like, I would presume that, you know, they're all about equality and, you know, diversity and stuff, which is great. but are there enough female players, for example, to have like a super, to have like elite competition? I don't know.
That's the thing. When, especially with a game like eFootball, eFootball doesn't have a ton of pro players as it is, let alone women's players. Yeah. I know FIFA doesn't have a ton of women's players either.
Yeah, you don't. I don't think I know of a single one. In fact, that's what I mean. You don't really see women at the top of esports at all. There's like, well, there's one, I can't remember her name, but in Overwatch, in the Overwatch League, there's
there was Gaguri in season one. He was part of the 0-42 loss streak for Shanghai Dragon.
God, that doesn't do well for the.
And there was Scarlet in, was it StarCraft? Was it StarCraft?
Yes, yeah, StarCraft 2. And there was a, I can't remember her name now, but a Hearthstone champion as well. That was in a tournament.
Yeah.
At BlizzCon a few years ago.
And so that's the thing with like that. Yeah, with like every other event at the Commonwealth Games, you're going to get like the highest level competition. And so it's fine if they want to prioritize equality and, you know, diversity and stuff. That's fine, but it also just means you're not going to get the highest quality competition, which I think would be one of the major pulls for most people. You get Rocket League, Dota. You know, if you can really get the best players to form a national team, you know, I think that would be really, really cool. But it's like you would want that from a Commonwealth Games event, especially the first one.
But you'd want to see that in like, you know, CS. Imagine like,
exactly.
Seeing the UK team for CS versus a US team where they have access to all of the biggest and best.
But that's the thing, isn't it? You can't have terrorists in the Commonwealth Games, can
and
you?
I suspect not all players want to take part either. That would be my assumption on that front, especially where it's not like an official medaled event by any means. It's just effectively an experiment / exhibition at this point, right?
Yeah, I don't believe there was prize money. I think it was all medal. Some had their travel, you know, stuff supplied and provided by some of the member federations. But, you know, talking about diversity, I'm glad you brought that up, because I would like global esports to be mindful of their own values here. We're talking about diversity and inclusion. You've got a couple of things. There was a tweet, unfortunately, the most popular tweet during the weekend on the Global Esports account was massacred by toxic people being transphobic and things towards some of the transgender players in the women's tournaments. And it took them a little while, as Jack writes in the opinion piece he wrote for my site, Esports News UK, it took Global Esports quite a few hours to limit the replies. And he would have liked to have seen, and I would have as well, I echo this, a statement to come out, you know, like saying, We're unhappy with these comments, or whatever word you want to do, the abhorrent comments, and we stand with the players and inclusion. They didn't do that. So be mindful of that. And, you know, I think the fact that they have links with the Saudi Esports Federation and Saudi, I asked Paul that. Don't some of your values go against Saudi's laws?
And he gave the biggest non-answer of all time.
Yeah, and some people in the community, like Stress Casts, was critical of him. Apparently, Global Esports have reached out to Stress, and Paul wants to have a chat with him. So they're trying, but, you know, it's they've been mindful. That's what I'd like to see them, just be mindful of their values.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. I'm glad you remembered to say that, Dom, because, if you're about diversity and all that stuff, and then, the values with a regime like the one in Saudi Arabia, they just don't align. It's as simple as that. Like, they're never going to mesh. So how can you claim that and yet, you know, one of your major partners is Saudi Arabia?
Who are we to exclude people because they don't believe the same things as us, Billy? That's the thing. You see?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, well, I suppose
we're
in
all
that
people.
Sense...
Can't we just relate on that front, right? Just because
it's
they don't
true.
Think
that
the same thing as us.
Bullshit, that, isn't it? When I was reading your piece, Dom, it's like, that's what I got from it. Is, like we accept all opinions. That was essentially the message, wasn't it?
Except
like,
for those,
but those opinions, yeah, but like those opinions just don't align with our values. So yeah,
it's in their song as well.
Is it
diversity inclusion? They got their own. So who was it? Wanted you guys to do a duet of the song.
Was it Chris Kissack?
Chris Kissack, yeah,
Isle of Man, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, it was. Yeah, Chris, yeah. But do you know what? I actually think it's a little bit catchy, the song.
I'll be honest, I've not listened to it yet. I know people
may
saying...
perform a cover and insert it before this. I may do it and insert it,
outro.
Before this.
Outro.
I'd love to see
it. Yeah,
that.
Stay to the end and I promise I will perform a small cover of Global Esports Federation's official song.
If this video reaches 100 likes, we'll duet it and put it as the outro in the next video.
I would love to see that. I'd love to see that.
Oh God, and I've got to sing. But anyway, I don't take them serious until they've reached out to me, Dom. This is I'm bored and grumpy, right? Is that what?
You, oh, that's this is what that's, me, right? You've helped me. That's what I was going
to
say.
Why has it reached out to me, the shithead?
I hope you didn't mind that I put your tweet in my article because you know
I
wanted to.
A third of the interview was about my tweet.
I wanted to present. Well, Paul kept talking about it after that. You know, I wanted to present, you know, the community's different opinions. And he did say, oh, you know, we're not for, you know, people like Adam who understand esports and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, he referred to you as brave and a little bit grumpy.
Yeah. And we discussed this while we was arranging recording. But him saying that I'm brave to like basically speak out against them can be taken as a threat. Because what would I need to be brave about just like sharing an opinion on Twitter unless there was some means of retaliation or I don't know like
they're gonna get you, mate.
Yeah, you know what I mean, that I'm gonna get whacked by Paul Foster. Like like what's going on here? I don't know what they're gonna do, send Chester King around with a shotty and just blow my door down. No. And like submit me or something, get me in an armbar. Like I don't know why I would be brave. I'm just putting stuff out on Twitter. People say much worse shit than I do. You know what I mean? So I found that a bit weird. I didn't take it personally in that he was threatening me or anything, of course. Like, whatever. This is all at the end of the day video games. But
you never know.
That was a strange choice of words, I find.
I would like to see you interview them, Adam. That's what I'd like to see.
I'll wait for them to reach out to me.
Yeah,
I would love to see that. I mean, I can be good cop if you want to do it on Cyber Athletics.
You haven't got the stones for that. No, 100%.
Is this an official challenge or not? Is he unwelcome?
Well, let's just say if he comes on this podcast, I will go to Saudi Arabia and put my arm around a man and get arrested. Like that's how sure I am that he is not gonna come on this podcast because like especially on video as well.
Yeah,
like, that adds another element to it, man. Doesn't it? Like, so yeah. But if he's brave and maybe feeling a little less grumpy, then he's more than welcome to come on show. Of course, like would have a normal chat. I'm not here to try and abuse the fella. Don't know him, but
Listen, it's like you know, I do like interviews where you know maybe I can be. Sometimes I think I'm a bit too nice, you know, because someone said to me after that interview, Dom, you didn't go hard enough in that interview. I was like, I thought I was grilling him.
Dom, I have the same problem, mate. I really do. Like, I'm conscious of how agreeable I can be sometimes. I really don't like the conflict side of things. I know Adam doesn't have a problem with it, but I do.
Yeah,
But Dom, I thought your the interview was really good. I thought you asked the right questions.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
I think. Yeah, sometimes people are expecting fireworks. I think for a piece like that, it doesn't need to be. I think you probed well, but I thought it was good.
Yeah, I think if something gets the fire in me, right, I think my best opinion pieces are when I'm angry about something. But as the years have gone on, as UK League of Legends and so on, which is my main beat, has improved, I have less things to sort of get angry about, really. But if I'm passionate about something, I will go in.
I'd extend that to say not just angry, but just like feeling strongly in any way about something, right? Because if you're seeing something that you love and no one else is really talking about it, you're going to want to shout about it as well, so...
Yeah, Dom, didn't you write a really good opinion piece? I'm trying to think what it was on. Was it Riot Games or Activision Blizzard? I think it was about like workplace harassment and stuff like that. It was a while back, but
possibly, yeah. Oh, yeah, I did the one on World of Warcraft. Sort of felt tainted to me at that point. I was like, well, let it be tainted. Now with Microsoft coming in, and the settlement they've done, and they've made some changes, people are feeling positive a little bit again, I think, about Warcraft and Activision Blizzard, but it's still got a long way to go.
But
the Microsoft thing made a lot of sense. I think Microsoft is that big family friendly brand now, isn't it? And anyway, but I've gone on a tangent.
Do you want to talk about the format for some of the events at the Commonwealth Games? Wasn't there some problems with that? Or weren't there some problems with that?
Yes.
So, who was the geezer who penned the tweet longer? Is he Welsh? I've made that bit up.
Yeah, yes. I didn't know how to pronounce that, actually. I didn't know if it was Day or Die.
Yeah.
David Jones, he was a player for the Welsh Dota 2 Open team.
If his name's David, it must be Day.
Yeah. D-A-I. Yeah,
hard-hitting journalism here on Side Brothers.
Yeah,
he's gone here from 8 qualified invited teams. Only 5 showed up. Reasons not known to me. But instead of combining the 2 groups of 4 into 1 group of 5, they continued as planned, with us having 1 best of 1 per day, and having 2 teams in the other group play each other once.
Yeah, 1 best of 1 as well. It's not even. Yeah,
and the eFootball format changed halfway through from best of 1s to best of 3s, so that upset a few people. But he did say overall. It was a very positive. What did he say here? Overall, was hugely positive. That was buried in his tweet longer. Everyone took out the other stuff, and it was doing this right.
I was going to ask who operated it.
So it's Face It, and if you've ever heard of or worked with Confetti, which is the esports like production institute kind of thing for Nottingham Trent Uni.
That's it.
Yeah.
Who I worked with a tiny bit at Esports Insider. They seem good. The venue's nice and stuff.
I think they may, unless I'm mistaken, I think they provided some of the facilities as well for the week before the finals in Birmingham.
Right.
Some of the players did complain about, we got student accommodation, which wasn't very good. But
with stuff like that, I just think, get a grip, mate.
Well, did you think there was going to be in a Hilton in Birmingham?
I guess if you see it and it looks like a prison cell, then fine, but I'm sure it isn't that bad. People do like to moan. I feel like that's something we have to consider as well. Just love a good moan.
And honestly, when that tweet longer came out, and that was a few days before the finals, I'll be honest, I thought, uh-oh, there's going to be a bunch of tweet longers by the end of it. But other than that, and the transphobic stuff, which was, they don't have control over that. That's other internet communities. There didn't seem to be too much that was negative. There were some weird things that Jack, my writer, did point out.
Yeah.
Had a trophy on the stage. Right, and none of the esports teams were lifting that up. So Jack was thinking, what's going on here? Now, this trophy was awarded to, this was the GEF Values Trophy, was awarded to the people of the West Midlands for their warm hospitality. A bit weird. I would have liked to have seen teams lifting trophies, but they could argue it's a medal thing. You have medals.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're so inclusive. They gave the award, the trophy to everyone.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. That's not really an esports thing, is it? But, they're trying to be nice.
They also did an award ceremony before any of the games started, I believe.
Yes.
Which was Global Esports Federation people giving out awards to other Global Esports Federation people. Is that right?
Yeah, and partners and I think friends of
the Federation. Which again, the partners thing is I guess I wasn't there, so it's tough to pass judgment, but even that's a bit weird, don't you think? It's let's just award our partners.
Yeah, did. I don't want to be too critical, but it did remind me a little bit of the, The Office, the US Office sketch where they have the, what's it called? The Dusties or the Dandies or whatever it is. And they give out these little.
Yeah, the Dundies, yeah.
The Dundies, that's it. Trophy, their team and all of that. It felt a little bit like that. But like I say, I wasn't there as well. I wasn't there, but Jack, my writer, was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the fact is they hosted £295? Is that how much it was? But almost £300 esports forum ahead of time.
Yes.
Which was a conference about esports featuring speakers who are not really part of esports or have that much experience in esports. And they're charging £300 for that shit. You can almost get an ESI ticket for that and have people leading people from the industry as part of it. It makes no sense. That to me is just fleecing the fuck out of people and then just espousing whatever the hell you want, because then if it's for people who are not in esports, they can't tell you whether you're chatting shit or not. Like, that's just a quick book on that front, right? And they're a non-profit organization, so where did that money go? Is that to pay the Saudi-owned face it?
I'm guessing to fund their operations. But yeah, I'm a little bit wary of the whole not-for-profit thing and then doing things like that. I know you need funds.
I thought, I mean, maybe I got this wrong, but I thought the 295 quid or whatever it was that not for the whole games? Was that literally for the talks?
I believe that was the forum. Yeah, that was just the forum.
Wow, that's crazy.
Let me pull up.
Games, actually, I should know what the tickets were. I think they were around 50 quid, but I think they went down.
Oh, right. Okay, so the 295 will just be for the speeches that morning.
That was the forum, yeah, more industry. I think when you go to events like that as well, you're paying for networking, right? And that price is in line with other esports and gaming industry conferences, or some of them. But those are different, like Adam, like you were saying, those will have people in.
They'll have experts.
Esports and so on. And this is a good point, actually, on this topic. Who do they have at the Global Esports Federation that are, you know, really endemic esports people of that background?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's someone called Kelvin Tan, who's there as director of esports. I don't know Kelvin, but apparently he has been a semi-pro player and has been in esports for 20 years. And then, like I say, you've got Chester King from British Esports, but he's not a gamer as such. You know, he'll tell you, or he didn't come into esports as a gamer, and has learnt a lot in the, whatever it's been, 6-7 years since setting up.
I think they brought in like traditional sports folks, like retired like competitors and Olympians and stuff, because they were trying to do, and I haven't really heard about it much since, but the whole like virtual sports thing effectively, where it's like we're partnering with the Taekwondo Federation and the World Sailing Federation, and we're going to like merge the two. So basically just have like VR games, which is not like accepted or even acknowledged or even ready to be in esports as it stands. Mm. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I think they've got more people outside of esports than they do inside of esports, which is mad. Whereas, if you go to another conference, that's a problem within itself for an esports federation, but on the conference front alone, like, any other conference is going to be run by people who know what they're on about somewhat. I mean, Sam Cook at ESI doesn't know what he's on about, but the people around him, like, it's all right. You know what I mean?
When are we getting Sam on? We should have had him on for this.
Mate, I can't get a WhatsApp reply within 3 months from him. So there's no way we're locking him down for a video, mate.
Yeah, that man is busy, no doubt. Or he doesn't like it, or both.
Will you be?
I was nearly spilled some beans then. I'm not spilling the beans, but no, he likes me.
Will I see you guys at ESI London? I do like the ESI London.
Yeah, you'll see me, mate.
Good. You will not see me. I got the invite, and I said no.
Why not? Come on, Adam.
There are a myriad of reasons. You
can drink Asahi.
I don't drink alcohol.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, we can...
I don't drink alcohol. I don't watch esports.
We can all get some food together. Come on.
I'm not. No. You see how much like the ESI discounted hotels are?
Do you know how many people are dying to see you at those events?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I know.
You can charge people to meet you. Charge them the Adam Field Federation.
if they allow us to do a live Cyber Athletics featuring Sacco, then I'll consider it. But apart from that,
this is a good point. Imagine if so. What you guys were just talking about there being no real like esports. I mean, limited esports expertise and like you know the endemic folk them not actually being there in the Global Esports Federation. Wouldn't it just be better to do this whole thing? So have a global. If you're going to have one. Why not just do it and fill it with people that are from the industry, have been working in the industry for the last 15, 20 years, and just do it that way? Like, is this not just like a soft version and like a... Are we not limiting ourselves by having people that don't... I mean, I guess, like, you do have the expertise, like I said, I suppose Chester King, who I don't know a ton about, but he runs British Esports Association, doesn't he? Or British Esports.
Yeah. Federation, but yeah, kind of British esports now. I didn't put my disclaimer, did I, at the start of this?
Oh, here we go. Disclaimer time.
Okay, yeah, so I worked at the British Esports Association, as it was known then, for 4 years. I did a lot of the content on their website, and I still help a little bit now with the... they do the weekly email newsletter, so I curate some news from around the web, and I put that together. But I'm not a full-time employee, and I'm not sort of privy to a lot of the inside stuff that goes on there. But I need to put that disclaimer in.
And we haven't really mentioned British Esports until then. So,
and by the way, as well, British Esports, I didn't know this until the other day. They do have a partnership with Global Esports Federation. Mm-hmm. So Chester is a vice president at the Global Esports Federation. But from what I understand as well, they also have some kind of agreement in place with them, right, with the Commonwealth Games Federation and Global Esports Federation. And British Esports has agreed to help with development of coaching, education courses, things like that with Global Esports. Because British Esports are very focused on education, right? They've got this BTEC with Pearson in colleges around the UK. And they've got their student championships as well. So,
Is that in partnership with Newell or anything like that? Or is that something?
No, they focus on the below the university level.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
So schools and colleges. Yuki right. also do as well. For the BBC and me. I've never worked for BBC, but you know, other brands are available. Yuki does school tournaments as well, the games industry trade body here in the UK.
Yeah, so you've got some expertise in running that sort of thing at the Global Esports Federation, but...
What's the incentive? You were saying fill it with people who know what they're on about, right? Mm. What's the incentive for, say... a Richard Lewis or a Eunice Chen or a Lil Susie, like these people who've been on for ages and operated towards the top, and Rich is obviously not in the same capacity, but knows what he's on about and is very well connected. What's the incentive for them to get involved in something when, again, like a federation inherently is not going to be able to like oversee esports because, as we've discussed many times, Billy, by now, like esports is not just one thing, obviously. It's however many things, and it can change all of the time. Developers have varied degrees of interest and really involvement true, in what's going on. So,
I understand what goes on.
If we come together, maybe then they'll take us seriously. If this is like a united front for the industry, but also getting that many people in a room, like half of them are going to be like, "Oh, I don't want Richard there. He blocked me on Twitter." And like, you're just not going to get past the petty shit. Like for the betterment of the industry, I think we've seen by now that a lot of people, or at least some people, are in it for the self-interest as opposed to the betterment of the industry and what's best for that, in my opinion, as evidenced by like ESL and Face It and DreamHack being sold to Saudi and Blast and Abu Dhabi and all that shit. So I say all that to say, I don't know if everyone did come together, I don't know, one, if they could get on with each other and agree on things, and two, if it would be taken seriously by the companies that need to take it seriously.
That's a really good point. And what is the incentive for them? Because if Global Esports weren't around 2-3 years ago and they've said, "Oh, we're here now," why should some of the key people in esports care and come on board? And, you know, I can compare that with when I was at British Esports in the early days when I just joined, we wanted to form this advisory board. We did go for some endemic people and we did invite Richard Lewis on and other people. I think Richard was a part of it for a few weeks and then, I guess, decided not to to be a part of it. There was someone else on the board that... they had a bit of a disagreement on Twitter. So I can't remember it now. I don't want to judge up old drama.
Exactly. Twitter just rules the industry, man.
Paul Chaloner was part of the British Esports for a bit as well. And I remember him saying, you know, I don't want to be throwing stones all the time. I want to be in the house and make sure it's, you know, things are going okay. And I think he was there for about a year or so, helping a little bit. And I think still has, you know, a working relationship with... people like Andy Payne from British Esports. But yeah, you know, you've seen members of the board come and go, but you've got people like Odie on the board and people. You have got some endemic people there. Rams, R2K from Chichester Uni, who's, you know, one of those early pro gamers in the UK. You do have some of those people on there as well. Yeah. I know we're going on a tangent. That's not Global Esports. Maybe Global Esports should do something like that. I want to see them reach out to the community better. Mm.
Yeah. All they have to do is just offer me the bag and I changed the whole game.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, like, I'm trying not to be too critical of them because I don't actually know. And I'm sure there are, you know, the event, Commonwealth Games and stuff seem to go relatively well. But at the moment, it does feel like they're like either to the side or a little bit above the whole industry, and like people don't really care, and because they've not engaged with the core community, people don't really trust them. So I think it's just a bit odd. They feel odd. The relationship between them and esports players and fans just feels odd.
I think in general, again, you've touched on a good point here. I think esports bodies in general have a hard time here, right? When you look at things like ESIC, I know ESIC have done pretty well to engage with the CSGO community, but they have their critics as well. You know, like these other people I've mentioned, WISA, IESF and things like that, they haven't really been accepted by the community. you know, even some of the players' associations haven't been.
Yeah, I was just going to say the LCS, PA, and stuff like that took a long time for it to get to where it is now, yeah. where everyone's on board. You look at the CSPPA, like that's just a fucking laughing stock. Effectively, no one really takes it seriously.
There you go.
It's the same across the board.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Is this a esports problem? People in esports problem, or you know, is this a problem with all these entities and bodies trying to come in? Do we need bodies? Like, you know, some people still say we need, some people call for actual governing body in esports. I know we can't have them, right? Because we have all the different publishers, or it'd be very hard to do. But some people want more government interaction as well.
And they're the people I assume like power, is my guess on that front. But like, and this leads into what Billy said. The reason you had to like highlight my tweet in the interview is because no one else was even fucking talking about it.
I said
that's the point. It's not everyone's being critical. It's just, only Adam Fitch was talking about this fucking thing.
It's spot on because, and like I said to you in the DM as well, Adam, I had a lot of people saying to me in my DMs and, you know, on Discord and things like that, who are these guys, Dom? I don't trust them, blah, blah, blah. So I felt I had a bit of a duty to vocalise that. But it was, I needed an example, and you had the public example. And it wasn't just you, Adam, when you tweeted, a few other people.
But only after, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly, because they feel
accepted. You have to force it out of them.
They feel it's okay to do it then, right? Again, that's another thing of communities, isn't it, as well? Mm-hmm. Internet
communities. Well, yeah, I fully agree with Billy. Like, it's just not plugged into where we're all at. Like, for whatever reason, it just feels like a new stepdad that's come in. You know what I mean? He's like trying to integrate with the kid, but it's just like, it's just not cool and just doesn't know how to relate on the same level. Like maybe have different goals for what this relationship should be. So then they just now maybe overreaching and saying, well, I'm doing loads for this family, which is the Commonwealth esports stuff. That's kind of how I see it. It's just there's an argument, a very real argument that the Commonwealth stuff could end up being a really good thing for esports. And we shall see. And like, theoretically, getting the more mainstream exposure and being attached to legitimate sports, like, that's sick. But it's just like, are these the people to do it? Like, again, like, was it streamed on Twitch? I didn't see one person post a clip, one person share a link.
Yeah, again, there was some criticisms there from that Welsh player that, you know, Global Esports Federation had their Twitch, but not all the games were streamed from there, and it was a bit sporadic. You know, British Esports were streaming some of the games. I would have liked, it was hard to find the schedule. I would have liked to have seen a bit more there, or maybe I missed it a bit. It seemed a bit late. I will say, this is a journalist thing. It bugs me as a journalist. You'll get this as well. When a company tries to announce things staggered, they do like 8 announcements when there only needs to be 1 or 2. And I noticed Esports Championships did this, right? They announced the date, or they announced Birmingham. Then it was, well, then they announced the games. You know, the player rosters were really late. And I said to some of my friends at British Esports, why didn't we announce the player rosters much sooner? Because that helps with tickets and things like that. You know, we had some players, Rocket League players in the UK, England players. That weren't tons, but, you know, we need more of that stuff. If they were announced 2 months before, you might have got more Rocket League fans.
Yeah. I went on Esports Charts and there was no data, by the way. It was still saying, like, waiting for data or waiting for things to be... I don't know if they're, like, in touch with Global Esports to try and get official figures or what, but, like, it doesn't even seem like it was tracked by the, like, company that tracks everything in Esports.
Yeah. Data, I'm glad you mentioned that, Adam, because a lot of people have questioned data. I did a press release that Global Esports sent out a few months ago about the Global Esports Tour or the Global Esports Games in Singapore, something like that. I published something on my site, and they said they had 500 million plus accumulated views. I've probably not looked properly, you know, I've published it and someone's commented on my story going, 500 million? Well, that can't be right. And I was like, actually, yeah, what's that all about? But I've looked into this and I've reached out to Global Esports. Mm. That includes viewing across all platforms, including Huyan and Douyu in China, right? And all social media. There's a lot it's included there. But yeah, the CEO said to me when they launched in December 2019, they had 940 million hits. They said
it's because they're classing social media impressions as fucking hits. Like, they're not comparing apples to apples. Like I said on the last episode, it's oranges to cardboard boxes, mate. Like, makes no sense.
Yeah.
We need to be inclusive of questionable Chinese data. You got to remember.
Of course,
Companies like Esports charts that don't even include Chinese data because it's just not reliable.
Right, so, okay.
It's botted to the high heavens. So, yeah, so you'll always see if you look at the graphics, there'll be a little asterisk at the top.
Yeah, yeah, because when I was at ESI, I was like speaking to them because they gave me access so that I could use the data to write stories and stuff. And I asked them, like, what's the crack with, I think it was League of Legends, and I couldn't see anything for China, and they said, like, we don't use it because we can't verify it, basically.
Yeah. Well, this 940 million hits also includes news coverage on print, online TV, radio in Singapore and regionally. So I don't know how...
Radio? So what? They included
print and radio, do you know what I mean? When you say stuff like that, that's what damages your reputation among the people in esports.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like what you're doing there is you're clearly inflating the number just so that you can have the number, right? That's all.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I see that a lot as well. Press releases that land in my inbox with silly numbers, and it's like, or people saying we're the first so and so to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. What's the? I can't think of it now, but the League of Legends stat that everybody used for ages. It was like the same repeated 100 million something. I can't remember. Oh,
100
it?
Million registered user accounts, wasn't it? Players.
I'm not sure.
I think you're about viewers though, right?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that wound me up because when you actually look into it, that's such nonsense. It's like the Super Bowl is like a 3-hour game. And they said, so it was like 100 million unique viewers of Worlds over the course of like a month or two or something
It goes 3 weeks now.
And that also included like auto play on articles. You click on an article, a video pops up at the bottom and it's Worlds. They included that. It's like 100 million, bigger than the Super Bowl. It's like, fuck off. That's just bullshit.
I know I'm on a sad point. Have you thought about doing this on Twitch, guys? I think you'd do well on Twitch doing this.
You reckon?
Yeah.
So I've never actually considered that. I've been thinking about like Spotify. We're on Spotify now. Oh, actually, I need to do a shout out. Hold that thought, Adam, on Twitch. Hold that thought.
Shit. Right.
No, so Henrietta, who was a writer at ESI when I was there, I was her editor, who's really, really good. She's at Fragster. I don't know if you guys know anything about Fragster.
I've seen it crop up a little bit. I don't know too much about them.
She's the editor-in-chief, I think, these days. I don't think I'm not too familiar with it. She's from the Czech Republic. But anyway, she listens to this and she asked me if we're ever going to go on Apple Music because that's what she preferred to. Apple Podcast, sorry, I guess.
I like that one as well. That's what I listen to.
Yeah, so I think we'd get more plays in total if we just put it. I mean, I don't know how easy it is to do, Adam. But
the answer is.
And we're on a tangent here.
Do it.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Nothing is too difficult for Cyber Athletics Podcast, the most well-funded and well-staffed podcast in the universe. Yeah, it was like, I think it was like, we just chucked it in the chat and we both acknowledged it was awful, but then it was like, oh, it's so bad, it's kind of good.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. No, I think it's grown on me even more. So go on, what do you think about Twitch, Alan? We're on a tangent now, sorry to the viewers.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Listening to us. No, it's fine.
Do you think we would get performance anxiety? I'm quite a timid person.
I think you'd be.
Sure. I am. But what you were really asking is, would I get performance anxiety?
No, surely. I'm. Me too. I'm just saying that maybe things would shift a little bit.
I'd probably prefer that to YouTube. I mean, we could do. Obviously, we'd do YouTube as well.
Yeah, I'd just rip it and bang it up on YouTube. Content remarketing. Yeah. Come on.
See, what people think. Here's one for the algorithm. What would you like Subrevletics? Let us know in the comments below.
That's a good point.
I will think about that stuff and I'll get it on Apple over the weekend. Shout out Henrietta. Is she still at ESI? Or is she left now to go Fragster?
She's at Fragster full time, I presume.
I will never read one of her articles again.
It looks like a Berlin based Fragster, looking at this.
Is it? Right, okay. Yeah, no, she was good. She was good to work with.
Interesting. So, like, overall, Dom, being, like, you're very well connected, plugged into UK esports, as a whole, how do you think the event has been taken and received?
I think overall, sort of more leaning towards positive. When you look at it overall, what I liked about it and what Jack liked as well, we're covering it for us, was, I think, inspiring the youngsters. There aren't many esports events or majors where you can bring young children along and feel happy to bring them along. Okay, you've got games like Rocket League, still a bit of a raucous atmosphere. The Commonwealth is, you know, it's always, if you look at the Olympics and the Commonwealth, it's for everyone, isn't it? It inspires youngsters. That's what I liked about it. There were a few kids there attending. That might be because I'm an old boomer and I'm a dad as well, right? So I think about that stuff much more than I would have done 10 years ago. I like that. And to Chester's credit, when he set up British Esports, one of his goals was to create or shout about future British champions in esports, because he was going to a few esports events. There are no UK players. And he wanted to try and inspire that. And I think now that we've got school championships and college championships, which I would have loved as a youngster, by the way. I'm sure I would have done Smash Brothers or something.
They did not have video games when you were in school, Dom. Quit lying.
Yeah, no. It was kind of frowned on. You know, when I was at school, when I was in secondary school, I was playing games like Final Fantasy X on the PS2, Pong. Metal Gear Solid 2 and things like that. I know, really.
Don't stand for this.
No.
Sorry, I'm just making some ageist jokes. I apologize. I'm old.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. I embrace it. I take it as I'm experienced and learning.
Oh, yeah. Wise.
Wise, yeah. Wise. It was looked down on. You know, if someone at school or a teacher said, hey, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I beat Final Fantasy X. All right. You know, it's changed now. It's changed now. Oh, there's a new league champion or whatever. Or, you know, this new team in FIFA, Team of the Week pack's been announced. It's different now. It's more accepted. I wish I was born a bit too early, I think.
So you think that element of it, like, was really to the credit of the event?
Yeah, I do. But then I have to say as well, how much of that was from Global Esports and how much was from the Commonwealth Games Federation? Because the cynic in me would say, have Global Esports piggybacked on the Commonwealth Games, which is already a thing, and said, oh, well, you could do esports. The Commonwealth could have done that themselves, really. And I think this is only going to get more integrated now. People are already doing reports that it's going to be part of the games potentially in 2026 in Victoria. So, overall, it was good. Some teething issues. There were some streaming problems, slight delays and audio problems. We get that. We get that on big broadcast as well. I would just like more openness, more transparency from the Global Esports Federation. It's not that they don't announce things and announce press releases. It's just a lot of their press releases, I see them and I'm like, what does this actually mean? Mm-hmm. You know, they need someone from esports to be there with them, I think, who's really from esports since the early days.
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't there, so it's hard for me to say, but judging from Jack's article, it was overall positive, but a little bit odd. I think, to be honest, leave the forum for, you know, the established ones out there like Esports Insider and the other ones we have out there.
How old's Jack, by the way? How old's Jack?
Jack is, I'm not sure his exact age, but he's going to be around 21 or so because he's...
I do not trust his opinion. He's too young, too passionate, too youthful, too enthusiastic. I do not believe a word he says. That article to me means nothing. I need it to be written by a 30-year-old who's seen some shit.
Yeah. No, he's all right.
That's the perspective, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. He's all right, Jack. And well, I'm worried about insomnia then, because I've got a team of young people there and students and things. But yes. No, we need a good mix of old and young, I think.
I'm only messing, mate. Don't worry. That's
how old are you two? Because I feel really old.
Yeah, you're asking how old we are?
Yeah. I'm 25.
Okay.
I'm 27.
Okay, that's all right. Yeah, so I'm about 10 years older. It does make me feel very old. But I'm happy to be accepted, right? I look through the ageist jokes as banter and accepted.
You're the ringleader of this. You're not just part of the group. You're the creme de
la granddad of it.
Yeah.
I'll take it as a compliment. Do you know what? The whole boomer thing makes me laugh, though, because my dad's technically a boomer, right? Born in the 50s, mid to late 50s.
Yeah.
That's the boomer, baby boomer generation, isn't it? I'm technically an early millennial, technically, or a late Gen X, whatever it is. So,
I don't even... I have not looked at that stuff. I don't believe in that, just like I don't believe in star signs. So I don't know what I am. I just go for as you like Duma.
Yeah.
Once to pitch to you because you had that podcast Boomer and Zuma with Nathan Edmonds.
And if Nathan's watching this, what happened to that? Congrats, by the way, guys, because it's something like whatever it is, 80 or 90% of podcasts don't make it past episode 3. So you've done well. Boomer and Zuma didn't.
Thank you.
Keep going. Keep going.
It's good
to find statistics once and for all. So Commonwealth gets one of them overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you both? I'd like to hear your views as well from seeing press releases and things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Adam's probably more likely to keep on top of the regular update stuff like that. I've kind of been out of the loop a tiny bit with having a job like that I've just left today, which is why I had the beer, not an alcoholic. So I've been a talent manager like in gaming, so I've kind of been out of the loop a little bit because it's not all strict esports. In fact, it's none of it is basically. This is the esports stuff I do with Adam, and then I'm going to get back into esports journalism, which I'm really looking forward to. So anyway, what was my point then?
The event. What was your opinion?
I just think in terms of the event, I mean, I'm basically the same as Dom. Like, it's hard to say without being there. Seems okay generally. I would just like to see him do more stuff, engage more with the actual community, like the playing community. They seem a bit abstract and a bit like irrelevant, even if they're not. Like, they might have some really interesting things planned, and like, I'm not against anything that they do just because they're a body or whatever. So I guess I'd just like to see him get more involved with people like on the ground, boots on the ground for
get some pro players, get some people from the get engaged, and that shows.
Yeah, liven it up a bit. It feels a bit dead and a bit like stale. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit corporate. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. What about you, Adam?
I have to give mine now. So I would say if this is our big moment, then you would want to put your best foot forward, right? And I don't think that has happened from the formatting issues to, as you say, like the issues tech-wise. Yeah. And then also you consider, imagine how good, you either have to go one or two ways, get the biggest names in to compete if you want the most views, or if you want to go the legit sports way, open it up to qualifiers, have it run for 6 months, a year, have people like make it a real journey to reach that point instead of just slapping it together, having team managers select people like that. That opens up many conflict of interest opportunities. You have a huge selection process for, I don't know, however many months, lead up to it, and then you get the best of the best, those that truly, quote-unquote, deserve to be there based on merit and results, right? And then you have it as these are the best of England versus the best of, I don't know, Cyprus, whatever it may be, instead of, like, having it selected however it may be, bias, unbiased, whatever.
Yeah.
And put it as, like, these are legitimately the best esports athletes that we have in these titles, have everything open so you know what you're leading up to, you know when it's going to be months in advance, you know how much it's going to be months in advance, you know the games months in advance, and instead it was all put together very quickly, which I don't think helped. The staggered announcements, look, maybe it's good for hype in some people's eyes, but for me it just makes comms messy as anything. I don't know what the hell's going on. So tell us it all as early as you can, maybe definitely be more prepared next time if you're going to redo it, I would say. And let's have a proper whack at it, you know, instead of just like doing this kind of, we're trying it, but you know what I mean? It feels like a first event. I'll put it that way. And you don't want that for what's supposed to be a spectacle, us integrating, at least in the West, into like traditional sports for the first time, right? Because we've got the Asian Games that have integrated esports somewhat. So in my view, I wasn't there, so I can't judge it too much. But from everything I've heard and seen, it tells me that we could have made a bigger dent than what we did, and we could have put on a much better show than was put on, seemingly. Because it's hard enough to get taken seriously in esports right now from the sports folks anyway, so you at least want to put your best foot forward is definitely how I look at it.
You are right, it was the first one as well, but you've got people like Face It there. Yeah, maybe the expectations were high. I'd like to see, what you've just given me an idea there, well, I can see the ups and downs to this, but in terms of the players, put it to the community. Which players do they want to see represented in England? You're right. There does come conflict of interest with team managers. It might be someone who's fallen out with a player who's really good, doesn't want him. You see that in football as well. But then community votes are open to abuse as well.
Yeah, we'd have like Grosscore competing for us or something, you know what I mean? If it came to that, like if America and it would have like FaZe Banks, Keemstar, and Nadeshot on a Rocket League team if it was down to popularity. So,
yeah, exactly. I would rather shoot myself than interact with that.
So I understand what you're saying though, Dom. Like maybe there's a pre selection first of like these are the people who have made this point, and now it's up to the public to get involved, and that's one way of getting some engagement in, I guess, long term interest involved because you want to see how these players are going to perform, right?
Yeah. Or a panel, you know. I know the awards you've already spoken about. A panel can be good in some ways.
It's better than one person making all those choices, I find. So,
yes.
I'm not sure if that's the case for all of the countries that were involved, right? But it definitely was for, like, UK.
But I will say, shout out to the team managers. We did have some good team managers on UK. Mark Weller from Vex Gaming did the Esports England, and he did work hard with that. Mm. And, you
he's
know,
a good guy. I've got nothing against him.
I think he'll tell you, you know, it wasn't plain sailing. But yeah, and the thing is, when you've got things like this, you've got a case of like too many cooks sometimes, right? It can be a bit of a Frankenstein thing. You've got Global Esports, Commonwealth Federation, you've got all the member states, all the partners, face it, different teams, confetti, like it increases the chance of things going wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably right, yeah.
I'll be honest, like, and you'd think I'd never say this, but I'd have preferred like ESL just coming because you know they're going to do a fucking good job, even though it's Saudi linked and I don't like the company as it is now. But like, if you want it done right, like, I'd much prefer you bring them in.
So sod it, you know, they're already Saudi linked.
Face
so
it, is an ESL same ownership, like, but like the ESL side, like, look, they put on big events every other month at this rate, so
yeah. It'd be interesting if the community's opinion changes on the Saudi stuff or how that develops. I think it's going to be a key trend over the next year or two or foreseeable future. I was just speaking to someone earlier who is an endemic esports person, and they said the Gamers 8 thing out in Saudi was one of the best events they've been to. So it's this thing, isn't it? How much money and how many good events can change people's minds?
That's the thing. I think just from watching football my whole life, basically, like, people do just tend to forget. Like, now everybody's interested in Newcastle just as a team this season. They're not. No one's talking about Saudi Arabia anymore. I mean, it's a big topic in golf with the new tournament, but I think the sad thing is people end up forgetting this stuff and it's just not spoken about as much.
You say that. The other week, I listened to TalkSport a little bit for my sins. Mm. I was in the car the other week, and this was just after an esports podcast. It might have been your podcast I listened to, and then they were talking about it, about the Saudi thing, and a lot of the boomers on there were going, oh, we've had Saudi money for years, who cares, blah blah blah. It was interesting to listen, and the younger people on the show were like, are you for real right now? You've got to learn about Saudi and that, and the boomers were like, oh, you're so young and naive, we know about this stuff, but it pays the bills and all this stuff. It was interesting to listen to the debate.
The young people are like, we can't even drink beer at the upcoming World Cup. Like, what kind of fucked up shit is this? You know what I mean? But so yeah, it will be interesting how it goes, but I have a feeling it'll be a case of like, well, the product's better for it. There's more money, so therefore it's better for us as fans. Like, they've got no interest beyond wanting to see their favourite players compete, right? So and go to the biggest and best events. So yeah, I can't imagine the fans are going to do it. And the industry folks are either taking money from them or they're basically scared to say anything for the most part, besides a select few of us.
I've been trying to cover the Saudi stuff because I'm well aware people are saying, oh, no one's talking about it. I know mine's a little old site, but I will still keep covering this stuff. You know, Moist Esports, the Rocket League team, they've got two players from the UK. They declined to attend.
Yes.
The other week.
Yeah, it was Gamers 8, wasn't it, that they were supposed to go to, right?
I think that was it. Yeah, or the Gamers Without Borders, one of them too.
That's the one, yeah. But they were like, yeah, it doesn't align with what we stand for. And I saw that and I was like, holy what the fuck? Is there hope?
Yeah, I thought loads of teams were going to drop out after that, but they didn't. I think they were the only ones from what I remember. But yeah, sorry, I'm going on a massive tangent. Once you get me talking, guys, you're going to regret inviting me on now.
No, not at all, man. Well, I mean, Billy, have you got it, or should we chuck it to outro?
Chuck it to outro. I'm not singing this time, but...
No. Oh, yeah. At the end of this, am I committing to that? No. No. At the end of next one, if this performs well, if this episode performs well, I will sing the chorus of the GEF song.
You said 100 likes, didn't you, or something?
Yeah, 100 likes, yeah. I'm all talk, I'm not going to lie. There's no way. We could get 1,000 likes. There's literally no way.
But if it gets
I'd do it for 5 likes.
I will bug these two guys, right, viewers? I will bug them. I don't know what a duet... I don't know what a three-person one is. I don't know what it's called.
But, I don't know.
I'm not putting myself forward.
Triet?
Yeah.
He's invited himself back on so he can sing for us. Like, what a guy Dom is. But Dom, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us, mate. But firstly, mate, plug what you need to plug. Let's give you a moment to shine. And
oh, thanks very much. I guess just, Esports News UK. I've been doing it for coming up to 7 years now. We just write about UK esports stuff, League of Legends and other games. Some people say I'm mad to do that in the UK scene. Is it really a thing? Esports is so global. But I set it up because I wanted to shout about the talent we have here. And so, yeah, just drop us a follow, really. There isn't much more to add. I don't like to...
Genuinely, Dom's knowledge of esports generally, especially anything to do with the UK, anything to do with colleges, schools, universities, I feel like your knowledge is just fucking, like, genuinely second to none. So
thank you.
People should go and read it. Read Esports News UK if they haven't
already. And thank you for being an editor for us, Billy, last year when I was on holiday. We'll have to do it again.
Anytime. Anytime. If you ever need anything, reach out.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I've just witnessed a real bromancer. Right. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll catch you on the next one.